Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a one-on-one conversation with Republican State Representative Karen Hurd of the 68th Assembly District. At least that's the district she currently represents, but she's running for the 69th and is already moved to Withy. Why? We'll explain on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGL Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. We'll be tackling three subjects with Republican State Representative Karen Hurd on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. We'll begin with reflecting on 13 years of tax reforms, a press release that Representative Hurd issued this week, challenging the governor regarding not one, not two, not three, but four different vetoes he's had of Republican tax reforms, wanting to give back some of the massive amount of surplus money that the state has to taxpayers. The governor has nixed that with his various vetoes. Also, we'll talk with Karen Hurd about her refugee resettlement bill, what she was trying to do with that also, which was vetoed by the governor. And finally, why she's declared her candidacy for the 69th Assembly District and moved from Fall Creek, where she was a longtime resident and served on the village board, to Withy. So that's all ahead in this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. Representative Hurd currently represents the 68th Assembly District that includes portions of Eau Claire, Chippewa, and Clark counties, including the communities of Altoona, Fall Creek, Augusta, Fairchild, Greenwood, Owen Withy, Thorpe, Cadott, Boyd, Stanley, the town of Lafayette, and parts of Eau Claire. And when I spoke with her earlier this week, I began by asking her about the press release she issued on tax reform this week.
Yeah, you know, Governor Walker started this with prioritizing cutting taxes and being fiscally responsible at the state, not spending more of the taxpayers' money to do government programs. It's all part of the whole Republican ideology, which is to make a smaller government and empower the people and keep the government as small as possible. Well, on the flip side, the Democrats or the progressives, the liberals, they would like to have more money so that they can do more government programs, because their idea is that the government would spend the money better than what you as an individual could. So we have been pushing, Republicans have been pushing for a long time for tax reforms, and much needed, because as we saw in this last budget, we had over $7 billion excess. Where did that come from? Because we tax the people too much. And so then there's this fight over, well, where are we going to spend the money? Well, we have been pushing, the Republicans have been pushing, to give the money back to the people. Don't charge them so much in taxes. We don't need that much money to operate the government. Whereas the other side, they would say, no, we want that money and more, so that we can come up with all these subsidies and hand out free money, and that, I mean, I can go into examples of how that works. But anyway, so that's sort of the difference in ideology between the two parties. And so what has happened since the beginning of the Governor Walker era is that we have been able to return $31 billion in tax cuts to Wisconsinite citizens. So like in last year, since 2011, that's resulting in $1,707 for the average family for just this past year alone that you got in tax cuts from all these years before. And this year, we're still, with that $7 billion excess, we were still charging too much money. So we have attempted four different times to get Governor Evers to lower the middle class bracket income tax, and he has vetoed all four times that we have tried to do this and said, no, 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 no. So he did let a little tiny bit go to the lower income tax bracket. So it ends up with $36 a year that the average filer will save, and what we were able to finally get him to sign, but he vetoed almost everything else. So
how frustrating, I understand that you guys have gone. I remember one of the press conferences in Altoona, and maybe this was, I don't know, the second of the four, that one of your Republican colleagues had felt confident the governor was going to sign that one. He didn't, but felt like you guys have legitimately tried to make adjustments along the way. You felt like you could find some middle ground. What is your understanding, I mean, truly here, as you wind down your first term in Madison, what's your understanding of what's the reason and maybe even the political reason that ties in with the governor's continued veto of this?
Yeah, well, Mark, this has really become such a partisan. Politics has become so partisan, and we've been pushed to the fringes. I mean, you know, if you look at federal politics, I mean, just in general, the left is so far left. And unfortunately, the right is becoming, not all of us, the right are becoming so far right. And then there's such a huge divide. It used to be, you know, like the old President Kennedy type of Democrat was almost the same as a moderate Republican nowadays. Not true anymore. And it's almost like I see the progressives trying to, they have to stand in this far left camp, because that's where President Biden is right now. He's in the far left camp. And, you know, your moderate Republican, sort of like a Joe Manchin, who did such a great job. He's a Democrat and from the Eastern Seaboard over there in the one of the Virginias. I'm not sure if he's West Virginia. I think he's West Virginia. Yeah, West Virginia. Anyway, so he's more of your moderate Democrat. Well, that's not who we have. And I have noted in Madison that the party in Madison, the Democrat Party, is on this far left bent too. They want to, you know, defund the police. They want to make this gender change for 11-year-olds. I mean, we're talking small children. If they decide they want, they're a boy and they want to be a girl, that's fine. You can undergo gender mutilation surgery. You can get hormones all without permission of your parents. I mean, we fought all those bills, and we actually introduced a parental bill of rights so that parents could know what their children are being taught in the school, if their children are being given advice to have a gender change, all of that. Man, we fought for that, and I'm on that committee and voted it in, and man, I got chewed up at the committee by everybody that was liberal, you can imagine, saying, oh, you don't like people, and blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on, and it passed both houses, because both houses right now, the Wisconsin Senate and the Assembly, are a majority of conservatives, but it failed at the governor's desk. All that is vetoed. So it is really this far left agenda versus conservative thought, and what I just call common sense. It's common sense that we shouldn't take more money from the Wisconsinites to pay for government programs to fund abortions, to fund gender change, to do all these things. That's just common sense. And so that's what we're fighting. And so that's why it is imperative that we maintain the majority in the legislature, because we have a Supreme Court now that is liberal, and we, of course, have a liberal governor. We cannot allow them to have a trifecta, and we will not, by the way. We will not. We have a strategy in place. It will work. We will maintain the majority.
But again, when it comes right down to it, between a $7.1 billion budget surplus is my understanding, and so this is the largest in state history, and it sits there, and this is what you're, with the tax relief proposals, the four that have been vetoed, you're bringing to the governor, and he's vetoing it. You tried to make adjustments, and so it's his understanding that he wants to kind of invest that through state government, and that's where you guys are at loggerheads. Is that correct?
That's where we're at loggerheads, because he's wanting to invest, you know, like he asked for $370 million to subsidize the child care industry. You need to understand, Mark, I am so for the child care industry and solving our child care problem. I mean, I've introduced and authored and co-authored 10 bills, 10 different bills to solve this issue. Democrats would have nothing to do with it, then governor vetoed them. So, you know, but what, see, their idea, it's a different idea. My idea is to fix the broken, and it's not mine alone, it's the Republican as a caucus, and that's our thought, is to help people to get on their feet and to solve the problem of what is the real issue with the child care industry, and that is a broken business model. Here are 10 different ways we can fix that model so then that this business can be successful. Well, on the other side, Governor Evers' side, he thinks that it's just best to hand them free money. So, Mark, let's say you're running a daycare center. Let's just give you $500,000 this year. It's not, you know, just free money. Here you go, Mark. You can have $500,000.
Thank you.
Just go with it.
Thank you.
Tax free. Yeah, thank you. Yes. And if we do that for every, you know, he's asking for $370 million. That doesn't solve the problem. The problem's still there. And how, and I mean, even the Department of Children and Families said it's not sustainable to just hand out free money every year, because next year they need the same free money, and the next year even more and more, because we have inflation, we have other things coming in. We cannot subsidize every business. So now we need to be subsidizing every business that's out there. We need to subsidize the painters. We need to subsidize the dairy farmers. We need to subsidize the electrician. We need to subsidize the healthcare worker. We got to subsidize everybody. That's not the government's job. Our job is to be able to change regulations so that you can work, you can prosper, you can make your business profitable, but not just hand you money. It's the old adage, you can teach a man to fish or we can give him a fish. What's better? Mm-hmm. You know, teach a man to fish, make it possible for him to fish. And then instead of just giving him the fish, because the next year you have to give him fish, another fish, another fish. You know, this is, that's not the solution. And that's where our opposition is wanting to go, just hand out their free money. Huh. And that is very expensive, and that means all of everybody's taxes goes up. And then that means the government decides a priority. So if the priority is gender mutilation surgery, and the liberals are in control, that's where your tax dollars go. Or to fund abortions, that's where your tax dollar goes. And that is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. And we're going to fight it tooth and nail.
All right. Subject.
And have been.
Subject,
and we'll continue.
Number two. You had proposed, you'd authored Assembly Bill 1004, which passed the Assembly and the Senate. This was regarding refugee resettlement. Again, and I think the governor has vetoed that, correct?
Yes, he vetoed it about 2.5 weeks ago.
All right. So just explain to me as concisely as you can why you introduced that bill and give me your reaction to the governor's veto.
Okay. The reason I introduced the bill is because we have a situation that has happened in the Chippewa Valley of 75 refugees coming in to the Chippewa Valley and Eau Claire being the center.
And I believe as many as 35 are already here. That last I heard, so
35 are already here. And the problem was is that none of the elected officials were notified. This was all done in the dark, and there was no transparency. The lack of transparency is abhorrent. This was the city manager of Eau Claire and their DEI is diversity education. Equity and Inclusion Officer decided they needed to forcibly diversify Eau Claire. So on their own, they contacted one of these, it's a third-party non-governmental agency that brings in refugees and asked them to bring in refugees. They did not talk to the city council. They did not talk to the Eau Claire County Board. And the Eau Claire County Board is absolutely essential as well as the Chippewa County Board because it's the counties that have to pay for the medical services, help them with housing, help them with all the needs that they would have. And so it's imperative that they know because they have the budget for it, and it's the taxpayer taxes. All of this was done under the table. All of this was done without anybody knowing it. So the bill that I introduced was not say refugees can't come. That's not in my purview. It's that you have to notify the elected officials. If someone contacts you, like one of these NGOs, to contact you and say, we want to bring in refugees, or you contact them and say, please bring in refugees, you must alert the chief elected official of your municipality. And then he has to let all the other elected officials in the affected area. And the affected area, by federal law, is a 100-mile radius that the refugees can settle in a 100-mile radius. And they just have to notify these people. And just let them know, hey, there could be refugees coming in, and so you need to prepare. It's just a preparation bill. You know, I compare it to, you know, Governor Evers, and rightly so, was very, very upset and very condemning of HSHS. That's the hospital closure system that everybody, I think, is aware of. And he said, you weren't transparent, you knew this was happening, and you didn't tell us it was going to happen, so we couldn't prepare for it. He's absolutely right. Because we didn't know about it, we didn't have time to prepare, and we were caught blindsided.
But
this is exactly what happened in this refugee thing.
But
we didn't know. There was no transparency.
What's your reaction to the governor's veto?
Oh, I expected him to veto it. Yeah, because the bill was about notification, Mark. That's all it was about. Just let us know and be transparent. But the other side, and then the governor went along, it was all along party lines. The vote was along party lines in the legislature. And so they were accusing, well, you don't love people. And this has nothing to do whether I want refugees to be here. Of course we want to help all people. But we also have to make sure that we have the resources to help them because it's not nice to bring someone here and then you can't help them. Mm-hmm. Especially when we look at, we have over 200 children that are homeless in the city of Eau Claire right now, that school children that are homeless. School bus, you know, stops at a car to pick them up out of the back seat of a car. Can we take care of them? Can we take care of others?
Huh.
And that's for the local government to decide. Not carrying her to the state level. I just want the local government to decide. So I knew that they took the spin on it. Oh, you don't like people. You're trying to keep refugees from coming. not trying to do that at all. Just want the local government to know if they're coming so that they can be prepared, just like HSHS. We just need to be prepared. Otherwise, we're caught without the resources that we need to take care of these people.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Karen, you declared sometime back in early March, you declared your candidacy for the 69th Assembly District. So I guess as we tackle this third and final subject, I mean, it has to do with obviously the left-leaning state Supreme Court kind of deciding on different electoral maps. So talk about how that plays into you as currently representing the 68th District and what's going on here with your plans for the November election.
Right. Currently, I represent most of a good chunk of Eau Claire County, not the city of Eau Claire itself, but the county of Eau Claire, and then the western half of Clark County, and then a portion of the southern and southeast portion of Chippewa County. And so the new maps have been drawn out of my district. I was residing in Fall Creek for 28 years, actually, and Fall Creek was drawn into another district, and I was drawn out of the 68th district altogether. And so I had a choice to make. I can either stay in Fall Creek, or I can move and continue to represent the district, although the number will change. Now it'll be the 69th, and Rob Summerfield will be running the 68th. All the numbers changed. Everything went more north and out east, and so the numbers changed, but then I will still be able to represent. I already represent the half of Clark County and the portions of Chippewa County that are in the new 69th. And so that way I'll be able to continue to represent all those people, although I will pick up the rest of Clark County and a little bit of Marathon and a little bit of Taylor County.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And so that means I had to move because Fall Creek's not in the district. So now I no longer reside in Fall Creek. I moved 2.5 weeks ago. And so you have to still represent the 68th. I will represent the 68th, the old 68th. And so I continue to be involved and, you know, doing everything with the old 68th. And then I will be in the new 69th, but I have to still live in the 68th. So I'm living in the eastern half of Clark County, which is my old district, but it's also part of the new district. And then I can be closer to Marathon County and Taylor County because it's quite a hike from Fall Creek to get to the all the way over to Marathon County to meet with constituents and to help them too. So
what is the city you live in Clark County then?
I am living in the town of Withy. It's just on the northeast portion of the city of Thorpe. So I have a Thorpe mailing address, but it's like a lot of people have a Fall Creek address, but they live in the town of Washington or the town of Lincoln or something like that. So,
yeah.
But I'm actually in the town of Withy.
In closing, then, a couple last things. I mean, in terms of how do you feel about, I mean, have you started a campaign in the 69th? I know you work.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And, I mean, you certainly are a hard worker. You're somebody who is a great pedigree of that. I know an early riser, and you work very hard. And so how are you liking the campaigning? How's it going for you in the 69th?
It's going well. It's going very well. So far, I don't have a primary opponent as of right this moment that I've heard of. And so I've got my ear to the ground. And so hopefully I won't have a primary opponent, and then I can just go into the general election and win the seat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And so you haven't heard of even a declared Democratic candidate either?
I haven't heard of a declared Democratic candidate either.
Okay.
So, and they might be out there, but they haven't. I haven't heard it. You know, no one's made a big public, you know, of it.
Republican State Representative Karen Hurd, our guest in this one-on-one on tonight's Chippewa Valley This Week on WWIB and WOGO, covering tax reform. Four different vetoes of Republican proposals put forward that the governor has nixed. Also, her voice on her refugee resettlement bill that the governor also vetoed. And finally, how she's declared her candidacy for the 69th Assembly District and is now moved after being a longtime resident of Fall Creek, even serving on the village board, to Withy so she can run for the 69th in November. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.